Hello, I'm Jillian. Welcome to Be Bold, Live Free, a podcast for women whose lives are affected by the traumatic fallout of toxic treatment in a close relationship. On this podcast, you will be inspired by survivors, women of faith who share their journeys of recovery. You will hear from experts who answer your unasked questions, share resources, and the steps you can take toward freedom, healing, and restoration. I'm honored to introduce my first guest, Anna LeBaron. Anna has written a book about her personal story of escaping a cult titled The Polygamous Daughter. One of more than 50 children of infamous polygamous cult leader, Erval LeBaron, Anna endured abandonment, horrific living conditions, child labor, and sexual grooming. At age 13, she escaped the violent cult, gave her life to Christ, and sought healing. Anna is now a speaker, author coach, and book launch expert. She's passionate about helping others walk in freedom. Anna lives in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex and loves being mom to 5 grown children and Yaya to her first grandchild. Anna has generously offered to give away a fantastic resource to one of you after listening to this podcast who likes and leaves a review of this episode. Be sure to check the show notes for dates and details. And now, part one of my interview with Anna LeBaron.
Well, I'm honored to be here. Thank you so much for having me and for allowing me the opportunity to serve your listeners.
Oh, I appreciate that. There are so many things I'd like to discuss with you, and it's really been a challenge to think about narrowing the scope. But before we dive in, if you'd like to share a little bit about what you're doing since you published your book and just what you think our audience might be interested in, I'd love to hear more.
Well, I changed careers when my book came out, right before my book came out. And when I was in the process of looking for a publisher, I accidentally rogue launched a book for an author. It wasn't intentional, and I had so much fun doing it that other authors and agents and publishers started reaching out to me about helping to launch their books. And then after about a year of working 2 full-time jobs, my regular job that paid my bills, and this other side hustle of helping authors launch their books, I was able to finally let go of one of those jobs. And I did let go of my 17-year career launching aircraft for the automotive industry and began launching books and working with authors and publishers to help them reach their intended audience with new releases of books that are coming out on the market. And it's been such a rewarding time for me, knowing that the right book is making it into the right pair of hands.
That's wonderful. That's what it's all about for authors, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't published a book yet, but that is my main goal, is to get it into the right hands.
Well, I love the fact that you use the word yet.
I have 2 books brewing. We'll just
okay. Yeah. So we'll be standing by for that.
Okay.
No pressure.
Okay. I'll rise to the occasion, I promise.
Okay.
As you know, Anna, my podcast is designed for women challenged by the effects of toxic treatment in a relationship, more accurately described, as we know, as emotional abuse. And it can be emotional, psychological, financial, spiritual. And I know from reading, yes, verbal abuse leaves much deeper scars than flesh wounds. But as I know from reading your book, The Polygamous Daughter, you've experienced all these types of abuse. And my concern for women listening is that some people don't realize they are receiving abusive treatment. To them, it might seem normal, or they become convinced that it's normal, or they become convinced that it's their fault, or they deserve it, or they push somebody's buttons, all of those things. Mm-hmm. And I want women to know the truth. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm so excited to talk with you today and just be able to ask you some questions and just gain from your wisdom, from your experience, from your lifetime of experience. Those are some of the biggest areas of concerns that I have for other women. So I would just like to ask you, Anna, you were incredibly young when you first realized that you needed to separate yourself from a situation. And yet you have shared with me that it took you many more years to realize that what you were separating yourself from was actually abuse. So would you like to address that for us?
Yes. So I was born and raised in a violent polygamist cult. Because I was young, I wasn't aware of the violence and the killing that was happening around me. However, I could sense the unease and the anxiety and the stress and the pressure on the adults around me. And so I grew up being hyper aware of what was going on around me, but not having anything with which to decide, like, why should I be afraid? What's going on? I didn't even know that I should be asking those questions.
Right.
The adults around me were involved in a cult where people were being killed and people were being buried in unmarked graves in, you know, off the highway. And the police were after my family members. And we moved around constantly in an attempt to stay ahead of the law. That was determined to find my father and the followers that he had that were committing the crimes. My father was a polygamist, which meant he had 13 wives and fathered 51 children. And so therefore, you know, there was never enough food, enough clothing, enough of anything to go around. And so the effects of growing up in that family of origin that I was born into left me traumatized, and I experienced abuse, every kind of abuse that we've talked about, and neglect, which was not a great way to start out a life. When my father was convicted and sent to prison and then eventually died in prison a few years later, I was able to use that those events to find a little crack in the opening, a little opening that I was able to slip through and escape the cult, even though I wasn't even trying to escape a cult because I didn't know that I was in a cult.
Right.
And so I think that's the number one thing that your audience can probably learn from, is that you can be in an abusive situation and not even know that what you're experiencing is called abuse. Because of the way I was raised and groomed and taught, and you weren't allowed to have a voice or a choice, all your emotions that were negative had to be squashed. You couldn't complain. You couldn't say anything. You couldn't speak up. You couldn't speak out. And so I learned from a very young age to just squash all of my emotions that were negative. And I was being groomed to become a sister wife. Therefore, you also had to squash any kind of jealousy or anger or anything. And they were teaching me from a young girl not to allow myself any kind of negative emotion. And Brené Brown, who's one of my favorite authors, says you cannot selectively numb your emotions. If you numb the negative ones, you're also numbing the positive ones.
Yes.
And so if you have the spectrum of negative to positive emotions, and you've numbed all the negative ones, so therefore the positive ones are numbed also, this gives you this little tiny narrow band of emotions that are safe and allowed. And so when you can know that you're experiencing some kind of abuse, if the only emotions allowed are safe and approved, and don't get you in trouble with whoever the abuser is. And so that was my experience, was shutting down emotionally and numbing.
Right.
So when I ran away from home when I was 13 years old, just not long after my father died in prison, I didn't know I was in a cult. I didn't know that what I was experiencing was called abuse. I didn't know that I was traumatized. I didn't know any of those things. All I knew was that before, when that happened, I was living in Houston. And right before that, I had been living in Denver and experiencing the worst of the abuse that we had experienced in my very short life in that time frame in Denver. And we were literally slave labor, working 12-hour days in a warehouse, more like a sweatshop, freezing cold in the winter in Denver, hot in the summer in this metal building that wasn't air conditioned or heated. And so when we moved to Houston and, you know, things began to change a little bit, and my father died in prison, when my mom decided to move back to Denver, I decided I wanted to stay in Houston. And I wasn't trying to like run away from home or run away from the cult. What I knew as a 13-year-old girl was life in Houston was way, way better than the life we had had in Denver.
Right.
And I was choosing to live in Houston. And because our lives were so transitory, and because my older siblings would come and go and be sent off to Phoenix or off to Dallas or Denver, Houston, we had factions of my father's group everywhere. And the people were just moved at will here and there and everywhere, pulled out of school and not educated. And so in my mind, it was possible to just be in Houston and stay in Houston. And so that's what I chose for myself. And it ended up being the thing that got me out of the cult and literally saved my life.
Right. When I was reading your book, I found it so interesting, Anna, that when you got to that point, it involved having to leave your mother. And for so much of your life up to that point, you had desperately wanted to be with your mother, and you had all those times of separation from her. And it's so incredible to me that at age 13, you were able to realize that your mother was making choices that you didn't want to make any longer for yourself. And I just think that's so incredibly important for us to see, that your mother was caught up in something that she didn't know how to get out of, and maybe didn't realize she needed to get out of, more accurately.
Right.
But you had this internal gut instinct that was working in your favor. And I think you had incredible insight for a 13-year-old. And another thing that I realized having read your book is that when you're in a cult like that, you're really isolated from outsiders. And that is something that people who are exposed to abuse often have in common. I know I've been in multiple marriages to abusive men, mm-hmm. that one of the commonalities was that slowly but surely, invariably, I would be isolated from my close friends, not get to spend much time on my own with family without him. And I was drawn away from being in any kind of group. It just didn't seem to work out for me to go to an evening Bible study. I remember signing up for a writing class, and I went about 3 times and was excited about it. Well, as soon as my husband discovered that I was excited about it and enjoying it, suddenly he needed me to do something else every time it was time to go to that class. So my life became more narrow and more narrow and more narrow until I was really in a slavish situation, sacrificing my wants and desires and things that I enjoyed to focus on trying to please this person and giving everything to the relationship. And always everything wasn't enough.
Yeah. Sacrificing all for the cause.
Yes.
Was part of the abuse that we experienced in the religion that I grew up in.
Yes.
So I was also in my later years, even after I got out and all that, in a marriage that was abusive. That was my second husband, and ended up, you know, 5 years later, it didn't work out because, you know, it took me a while to figure out that what I was experiencing was called abuse. And once I did figure it out, extricating myself from that circumstance took a lot of grit and determination on my part to not accept that that's was going to be the rest of my life being treated that way. And then finally getting divorced.
Right.
And so now I'm single, but I would rather be single and peaceful and happy than experiencing that kind of relationship for the rest of my life.
Right.
I remember the day he moved out, and I woke up the next morning in my bed and I felt peace for the first time in my life.
Wow.
In my whole life. Because of the way, when you think about the whole trajectory of my life, being part of the cult, escaping the cult, but then everything that I experienced afterwards that, you know, I don't want to spoil the book for other people who are going to plan to read it, but many, many things happened that left me without peace. My first marriage with my children's father was 17 years of it not working and me trying my best to make it work. Our first year was good. And then after that, it got really hard. And so my second marriage, the first year was good. And then after that, it got really hard. So even after the first marriage ended, I was a single mother with a full-time job and 5 children. You don't get a lot of peace in those circumstances. And then I got remarried and became a stepmother, full-time stepmother. And his ex-wife was very much intent upon not allowing us to live in peace. Mm-hmm. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Right. I understand.
But so we did not experience a lot of peace, even though the first year was a good year for us as a couple. But then afterwards, it became a lot more difficult and then escalated from there to the point that we sought marriage counseling and 3 years of marriage counseling, and he couldn't admit that he had a problem.
Oh, yes.
And so after that, things just in a lot of different ways became more difficult. And then it was during that period of time, as I'm a woman in my 40s, like 45, 44, 45 years old, that I didn't know that what I was experiencing was called abuse. And I had been volunteering at this place where women in need were served with food and other things that were necessities. And I had volunteered just to sit in on a Bible study and participate. And we were doing a Bible study. I think it was called Crazy Makers or something by Rick Warren. And I'm just there wanting to support and help. I'm not there thinking that I'm the one who is in need.
Right.
I'm a volunteer. And we're going through that Bible study week after week. And one day they open up the book and Rick Warren starts saying, this is what physical abuse looks like. This is what sexual abuse looks like. And here's financial abuse. And he starts naming these things. And then he said, this is what emotional abuse is. And I went down the list as he's naming them, and I literally could check off every box.
Wow.
And it hit me like a ton of bricks, like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. And I really wanted to shut down and close the book and then pretend I hadn't seen that. But once you see it, you can't unsee
it. Exactly. Yes.
But I really tried to. I tried to unsee it. And then just because of the circumstances, I believe that we're divinely appointed. I was also involved in a Bible study that would happen on Monday mornings. And so that happened on a Thursday. And then on Monday, I went to the Bible study where I was, you know, a participant and really wanting to get something out of it. And I was doing my homework and, you know, where this is one that's serving me, not I'm there serving.
Right.
Well, it just so happened that on that day, me and one other person were the only ones who showed up. So the host and me and one other person. And so the host said, well, Anna, how are you doing? And what's going on with, you know, they knew that my marriage was difficult and that I was, you know, talking about certain aspects of it, but not really sharing a lot just because it's difficult to share what is actually happening.
Yes.
And so with just her and one other participant who was a more mature lady that I believed I could share what was actually happening, I just said, this is what happened on Sunday. This was the day before. This happened yesterday. And the host looked at me just point blank and said, Anna, that's abuse.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, and this time I couldn't like be in denial about it.
Right.
And it left me feeling gutted.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what does this mean now?
Right.
Now that I know this, what happens next? And it took months for me to gather my courage, for me to talk to people who could actually be helpful to me, and to get wisdom, and to pray, and to find my support system in order to take the steps that I needed to take to extricate myself from that marriage.
Right. That's so important, Anna. That's one of the things I'm teaching in my course, is that it does take an incredible amount of courage and commitment. It has to be a very intentional decision. And one of the biggest components of success, of doing it successfully, is, like you said, it's having a network of people who know how to help you and encourage you.
Yes.
And support you through the process. It's really important.
You know, there's statistics that talk about women who are in an abusive marriage that will get out and go back a number of times before they finally are able to extricate themselves for good.
Right.
And I hope that anybody listening will not feel any kind of shame if they've left and gone back and find themselves still in that relationship. It is very, very difficult.
Yes.
To extricate oneself for good.
Yes.
And for it to be the time that it sticks and that it works and that you're finally able to be free. And there's no shame if you find yourself where I should have stayed out. I wish I would have stayed out.
Right.
Any of that woulda, coulda, shoulda, any of that kind of thinking is not helpful at this juncture. What is helpful is identifying the fact that this is a difficult choice and a difficult decision, and getting out and staying out is hard.
Yes, it is. And so often abusers don't want to let you go.
Correct.
You know, they have amazing capacities to make us feel guilty and make us feel shame. And that's not coming from God. God wants us to be healthy and be well and be safe.
And that's the other thing that a lot of people find themselves in, especially people who identify as a Christian or as a believer. They are being told that it's more righteous and more holy to just pray more and hope more and put your faith in God to change the other person, and for you to win your husband and win his heart with your quiet, subservient, subjugated self.
Right.
And the facts are that God does not love you less than he loves marriage.
That's right.
God loves you more than he loves the institution of marriage. And anyone in any religion group, anyone who would tell you that being married and staying married when you're in an abusive situation is more important than your own well-being is not accurately reading their scriptures.
Yes, I remember I also was in a long marriage to the father of my children, and there were lots of issues and lots of problems. And I just kept thinking, I can fix this if I try harder, do better, do more. And it took me most of a lifetime to figure out I didn't have that power, that only God has the power to change another person and change a circumstance like I was experiencing. And that's a terrible pressure to put on yourself.
So there's a author who wrote a book called The Life-Saving Divorce. And she is the one who helped me to finally see very clearly and very scripturally what I was just talking about.
Oh.
And she describes and defines a life-saving divorce as a divorce to find relief from a marriage with a pattern of adultery, sexual immorality, physical or emotional abuse, addictions, or abandonment and neglect.
Excellent.
And so Gretchen Baskerville is the author of that book, which I would highly recommend for anyone who's questioning or doubting or wondering, is God going to be mad at me if I seek a divorce or seek a separation? Anybody who's wondering, right. I would urge you to just do the study on your own. There is another book that we were talking about right before we started, Overcoming the Narcissist, Sociopath, Psychopath, and Other Domestic Abusers, the Comprehensive Handbook to Recognize, Remove, and Recover from Abuse by Charlene Quint. And these are new resources that are more current, with more current information that is just going to be incredibly helpful. One of the things that I love about Charlene Quint's book is that when you buy it, it's a comprehensive manual for you.
Yes.
And if you're in an abusive situation, the book cover design itself demonstrates her knowledge and experience with this type of circumstance, because you can turn the book cover around and then it's not a book about domestic abuse anymore.
Right.
It allows a person to read that book and not alert the person that they're in an abusive situation with to the fact that they're learning about this or right. studying this or taking in new content and new information that will help them make better decisions moving forward.
Yes. Thank you, Anna. That's we'll put information about both those resources in the show notes, along with some other information. The one book by Charlene I'm familiar with, I have it, but I'm going to get the other book myself. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. Anna, this has been so valuable. I'm wondering if you would be willing to come back and do another show with us. I know my audience would love to hear more from you, and I would too.
Of course, I'm happy to.
Okay, well, thank you so much for being here today, and I just can't thank you enough. Everything you've shared has been really valuable and helpful, and there's so much more to talk about, and so we'll continue at a later time.
Yes. One of the things that one of my mentors taught me very early on is that no matter where you are on your journey, there's always people that are ahead, a little bit ahead of you on the journey. And one of them is going to be reaching back to grab your hand and pull you up to where they are. And then once you get to that place and you recognize that, oh, I'm a little bit ahead on this journey, then you have the opportunity to reach your hand back and take someone else's hand who's reaching and say, come on, let's go. We can do this together. And that's what I imagine this message is a way of saying I'm reaching my hand back, because there have been times, many, many times in my life, where I've had to reach out my hand and say help.
Yes, that's beautiful. I love that. I love that very much. So again, thank you, Anna.
You're very welcome.
Looking forward to our next visit.
Me too.
Wow, I'm grateful to Anna for sharing so much information. I hope, like me, you were taking notes. Be sure to check the show notes for how to enter the drawing for a resource that Anna is giving away to one lucky listener. And don't miss the rest of our conversation in the next episode of Be Bold, Live Free. Goodbye for now, and God bless you.